Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. He's in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Is it wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? He's in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. Is it Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Is it wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Is it Jesus, my Lord? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. Hallelujah. Smile, welcome people around you. Tell them it's so good to see you. Tell them you look good this evening. Tell them to smile if they are not smiling. Hallelujah. Tell them Jesus loves them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so it's welcome to a midweek booster service, and which is a teaching service, and which has been for 1 year largely from my study and Pastor NY's wherever that we've been beaming from. So it's been 1 year of that, but we thank God for the opportunity to come to church and broadcast from church. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we want to thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We indeed ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that tonight as we look in the scriptures, you will open our eyes to behold the wondrous things in your word. Thank you because you will do the incredible even in our lives as we listen. Thank you because every nugget, every word of God is full of living power. And so the amazing will happen. The incredible will happen. The miraculous will happen in the name of Jesus. Thank you because indeed as you speak to us tonight, we receive instructions, clear instructions as to how things work in the kingdom. And we are not the same again. The glory and the honor be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's never an ordinary thing when we sit to share God's words. Never an ordinary event. Never something to take for granted. It's something we must cherish. We must appreciate. Ephesians chapter 6 is my text. I started off speaking about different kinds of prayer last week. And the main text that leads us into that is Ephesians chapter 6. I'll read it from verse 10 for context sake, even though one verse is the actual key verse, but I read, you know, from verse 10 so that we get the context. It says, finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. And I said that word wiles means tricks of the devil. So largely, what the devil uses against us are tricks. What the devil comes with us with. It's interesting that the Bible says we may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. One of the things that we must understand, and I don't even know why I'm stopping in the middle of reading my text. One of the things we must understand as believers is that the devil does not have the power. Amen. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Not anymore. In fact, you know, Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and of death. What does that mean? It means that even your dying is not in the hands of the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When he spoke in Matthew chapter 28, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So we must understand that in the battle that we are up in, that's why I was saying the other day that when it's the devil, it's easy. You know, the point is that the devil does not have the power anymore. What he has are tricks. Can I hear you say tricks? And the whole idea, when I say he doesn't have the power, largely that means that he doesn't have the power against the believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying the devil as a whole, he doesn't have any power and can't do anything. I'm saying that where you and I are concerned, he has been rendered useless, really. And what he uses are tricks. What are those tricks? He tries to convince us that we are not who God says we are. He tries to convince us that we cannot do what God says we can do. He tries to convince us that he has the upper hand when he doesn't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he tries to deceive God's children at all times. He uses the wiles. He uses the tricks, not the power, because he does not have the power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the Bible says that we put on the whole armor of God. I continue to read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know why I'm laughing? I'm laughing because somebody might even stand there and say, you know what? I wish we were fighting against flesh and blood. You know, that it's better to fight flesh and blood. These things you have listed are very heavy. I mean, against the rulers of the darkness in heavenly places, against principalities and powers. He said, no, let's fight flesh and blood. So at least we know who can. I mean, we fight it, we finish. Break your teeth, I break your teeth. We know that I won. It's easier that way. No. It's actually easier when you do not fight against flesh and blood. Can I have an amen? It's better when we fight against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heaven places. Why? Because they know who is boss. Can I have an amen? They know without a doubt what has happened. They know without a doubt. The Bible says, haven't disarmed principalities and powers. Haven't disarmed them. He disarmed them. He made an open show of them. Haven't disarmed them, he made an open show, meaning that the beating was not in secret. The beating, after he beat them, he now paraded them in public to say, I have won. Hallelujah. So that it is not a secret, but it is known to every spiritual force who has the power. Can I have an amen? Verse 13, he said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer. And that's my main text. It says, praying always with all prayer. We read several versions last week. One says, praying always with all kinds of prayer. One says, praying always with all manner of prayer. Hallelujah. Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. So the point is that, and the point that we laid down was that there are different kinds of prayer. There isn't just one kind of prayer. Most people know about one kind of prayer or two kinds of prayer, but we need to understand that there are different kinds of prayer. And the idea of knowing that there are different kinds of prayer is that there are certain different things or rules that are peculiar to the different kinds of prayer. Can I have an amen? And when you pray the different kinds of prayer, you need to understand, you know, that these are certain things you must take note of where those prayers or those kinds of prayers are concerned in order for you to be effective. I read it from verse 10 when I read Ephesians 10 because I need people to get the context. That is saying that in the context of life and spiritual warfare, so to speak, we need to be praying different kinds of prayer and not just one kind of prayer. It is one kind of prayer to pray the get me, give me prayer kind of prayer, but that can only get you so far. Hallelujah. If that's all the prayer you ever pray, you can only go so far where spiritual warfare is concerned. But if you are going to be able to stand against the tricks of the wicked one, if you are going to be able to withstand everything the devil brings up against you, then you will have to put on the whole armor of God. And to put on the whole armor of God, you will have to be praying all the different kinds of prayer in the spirit. Largely, it also means that when you pray, you learn how to pray by praying in the spirit. That is by paying attention, not praying in tongues. I'm talking about praying in the spirit, by being led by the spirit, by being inspired by the spirit. You'll find out that there are different kinds of prayer that you will have to pray at different times for different reasons. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So one of the key things that you will do that will be helpful, useful to you, is to learn how to pray being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Are you still there? The sensitivity to the Holy Ghost in the place of prayer will help you to know what you need to be praying at different times. Remember last week I was talking about the testimony shared by Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans about the missionary to China who was praying and petitioning God for her healing because she has been struck by a sickness, and God said, what you need to be praying now is a prayer of thanksgiving. And God a vision and said, if your thanksgiving becomes heavier than the weight of the problem that you are faced with, he said, then you will be healed. And the lady stopped praying, stopped asking God for anything, and just started to praise God. Hallelujah. That is an inspiration. Praying all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Can I have an amen? And there are several things that you'll find in there. I mean, he talks about the fact that you'll have to watch. So we talked about perseverance in prayer. So there are different things that the Holy Ghost will lead you on to. Hallelujah. One is that you pray always. Hallelujah. It says praying always. You get to the place where you find that you are praying always, praying always, praying always. If you are praying in the spirit, you get to that place where prayer goes outside of your prayer closet, but begins to become an always kind of thing. Can I have an amen? You find that many times as you are walking along the road, the Holy Ghost begins to inspire you to pray about something. You are no longer waiting for the prayer time, but you are ready to pray. And it talks about perseverance in prayer. You find that there are times when you get pushed in the spirit, you have the burden in the spirit to spend time. You have a burden to just take some time out to pray about something and about something again and again. Just dedicated time, a little extra time. Those are the things that come when you pray in the spirit. And thirdly, you'll find that you'll also start praying a lot for other people and not just yourself. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So it says, but basically the emphasis here is that it says praying always with all different kinds of prayer. Can I have an amen? Praying with different kinds of prayer. So we'll have to learn what are the different kinds of prayer. So we'll talk about a few of them, just giving a few examples, and sometimes just following the Holy Ghost, we'll go as much as the Holy Ghost allows us about any one of them. But one of the key things, as believers, go to Luke chapter 11. One of the key things that we must learn is that we will have to learn to pray. And what that tells me is that over time, if you are a praying person, if you are consistent, and you are a student of the Holy Ghost in the place of prayer, you will find that there is a dynamic in your praying. You find that your prayer begins to take different forms. You find that there are different depths. It's like you are moving from a level to another level. It's like the way you pray is becoming different. And you begin to get into different kinds of flows. And you begin to have different kinds of experiences. Are you still there? We're praying on Sunday before we started the intercessory group. And I opened up a scripture. And that was the scripture we were using to pray. And when we're done, I said, somebody was laughing at the place once we started off with the scripture. So I said, what was on your mind? And she said, look, exactly what you were saying. I've just had an experience like that. This week where there was a burden, I had a dream. I saw this. And then when I got in here, you opened up the scripture and it just spoke to me as I prayed. It spoke to what I had had a dream about. And so I just began to pray and when I had the dream, it's like I had a burden. When I woke up, I had a burden for people. I had a burden to pray for people. So as you pray, one of the best things we need to know is that we'll have to become students of prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing like I've known how to pray. There's nothing more to learn about it. Like I've just told you now, there are different kinds of prayer. And it's almost like learning to play a sport. I used to play basketball. Well, I play basketball, not I used to. But at the point I told myself, you know, I played basketball for so long. I told myself that the basketball crowd on the basketball court was a rough crowd. And that I was becoming old. Or older. You know, and most of these people were secondary school boys. They were rough, you know, they would cuss and they would do all sorts of things on the basketball court. So I said, okay, you know what, I think I need to stop this game. And let me go play a more gentlemanly game. So I went to the squash court. The only problem was I could not transfer my years of experience on the basketball court to the squash court. You know, even though I played basketball very well, I played for my school, regard for that. When I showed up on the squash court, I was a baby. And they had to start first by telling me the rules. This is how this one works. You have to play above that line, then below that line, then you know, and then they have to start showing me what are the tricks in this game. This is what you do. This is how you pick a shot. If they hit it at you this way, this is how you can pick this kind of shot up. So they have to start teaching me all over again, even though I was a sportsman with a lot of experience. Are you still there? When you are praying different kinds of prayer, you will have to gain the experience as you move along in the different kinds of prayer. You will soon discover that there are different rules. Hallelujah. That there are different ways that the things will function in the different areas of prayer. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass. Are you there yet? Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass as he was praying. He there is referring to Jesus. He said, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So if you've been in our prayer meetings, in whatever form, anywhere we pray, you know, whether we with the 21-day prayer and fasting, whether it's intercessory prayer, I like people to speak. I like people to come up with, if there's anything on your mind, say it. Why? Because the place of prayer is a school. You start discovering new things. Are you still there? And I want people to learn that this is how things work in the spirit. Sometimes I'm asking people questions, what do you think about this? I actually have an answer within me, but I want to see if they have the answer. And sometimes when they tell me the answer, I tell them that's exactly what I had in mind. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to tell them that that's exactly how things work in the spirit. You perceived what the Holy Ghost was saying. Maybe you would not have had the confidence, except that I said that was also what was on my mind. Are you still there? So the disciples here came up to Jesus and they said, look, when they saw him praying and they came to him and they said, Master, teach us to pray. I've done a series on that before, which I call Teach Us to Pray. Teach us to pray can be interpreted in two ways. One is teach us to even pray at all. Hallelujah. You know, teach us to pray at all. Teach us not to wake up, go about our business and go to bed. Can I have an amen? May the Lord teach us to pray. Can I have an amen? May he teach us to know that prayer applies to everything. It's not just confined to the dinner table, confined to church service. Can I have an amen? Confined to a quick morning prayer with the sign of the cross being made after it. May he teach us to pray. May he teach us to know that prayer is a tool in our hands. That prayer is something that should bring us pleasure. Prayer is something that we should be desirous of running towards. Because it can make a world of difference. The Bible says that our ability to be able to stand against everything the devil is going to bring against us will come by praying always. So the disciples came to Jesus and they said what? Teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Another translation says, teach us how to pray. Hallelujah. Teach us how to pray. As John also taught his disciples how to pray. It means that there is an element of learning the how-to of prayer. That even much more applies to different kinds, or the knowledge that there are different kinds of prayer. Then we'll have to learn how to pray. Are you with me? It still shocks me. I've been with many believers. I've been asked to pray about something. And when they pray, I'm in shock because I realize this person does not know how to pray. This person doesn't know how to pray. Maybe you've been with somebody and they ask them to pray. Someone is sick. Can you say a word of prayer? As we say. And the person says, Lord, heal him if it be thy will. He doesn't know how to pray. Are you still there? And it shocks people when you know how to pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, so I told the story before years ago. I was in university and we're going on an excursion. We're coming from Ibadan to Lagos on an excursion. And we got on the bus. And as the bus was moving, they said, oh, pastor, pray for us. So I said, okay. I said, Father, thank you. Something like this. I just said, Father, thank you for this journey. Thank you because you are with us. Thank you because you've even gone ahead of us. Thank you because we're... thank you because the journey will be so smooth and we'll go there and come back safely and we're going to have so much fun. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. And when I finished, they looked at me and they said, what kind of prayer is that? Why? Because they were waiting for something else. They were waiting for me to bombard the windows of heaven. Amen. First, you want to bombard the windows of heaven. Somebody say, I'm bombarding the gates of heaven. Why? You know, if you ever read the book of Revelations and you read the dimensions, how far is the gate from the throne? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you are banging, you say, I'm bombarding the gates of heaven, my friend. You'll be there a while. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But really, the truth of the matter is this, you don't even need to bombard any window or gate of heaven. Why? Because you are praying to God who says, I am with you always. You are praying to God who says, I will abide in you. So when somebody also says, I don't think my prayer passed the ceiling, you say it doesn't have to. Why? Because he's with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they were waiting for me to pray and bombard the gates of heaven. I did not do that. They were waiting for me to pray and begin to bind all the blood-sucking demons on mile 1, mile 2, mile 3, mile 4, mile 5, and count all the miles until I arrive in Lagos. And then after I bombarded them and bind them, somebody said, if binding doesn't fix it, lose it. If losing doesn't fix it, bind it. So after I've done all of that and it doesn't work, then you pour the blood of Jesus. And you watch as the blood is flowing, it's flowing, flowing, flowing. It has reached 20 kilometers, 25 kilometers. You are pouring the blood, you are pouring the blood, you are pouring the blood, and it's flowing all the way down. And when you see it has reached Lagos, say, yes, we can go. Hallelujah. So we need to know how to pray. Amen. So the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And if you realize, what we have called the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer in itself. He said, after this manner, pray. And when you look in what he called the Lord's Prayer in here, he had different kinds of prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So basically, again, he was telling them that in your place of prayer, you will have to be praying different kinds of prayer, starting with a prayer of worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And very often, guess what? I found out that I'll pray a long time and all I'm doing is a prayer of worship. Are you with me? And, well, what about my needs? I found out that very often they get taken care of. Are you still there? I was listening to Bill Johnson someday and he said something similar. He said he's just found out that he does not pray for anything for himself. That he's just reached a stage where all he does is praise God. All he does is worship God. He's not there asking God for this or asking for God for that. Somebody says, so what will happen to all your need? Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Are you still there? So there are different kinds of prayer. There's a prayer of faith, which we also can call the prayer of petition, which is that prayer we pray when we want to ask God for something for ourselves. We want him to give us something. We ask and we pray the prayer of petition. We petition heaven and say, this is what I want, God. I want you to give it to me. We have a prayer of worship, as I've mentioned now. We have joint prayers, which is when people come together to pray loudly. Can I have an amen? And seek the face of God over something. We do that in the intercessory group. We do that as a church, oftentimes before services. It's a different kind of prayer. We have a prayer of dedication or commitment. We have a prayer of praying in tongues, which, of course, if I'm going to teach on that, I think I'll do a whole series on that one. Hallelujah. Because Paul said, I will pray with my spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. Hallelujah. Also means that the understanding is the appendage. Are you with me? But praying in the spirit is the main prayer. I do most of my praying in the spirit, and there's a reason why he said that, because it's the accurate prayer. Hallelujah. The scripture says the man who speaks in other tongues does not speak to any man, but speaks to God. And God knows what he's saying. Hallelujah. So between him and God is saying or praying accurately. No wonder Paul said, I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my understanding also. So the understanding will come. Also, there's a depth in the place of prayer. When you pray that way, that you'll find out that you are interpreting the prayer in tongues that you were praying. Are you still with me? So one time I was praying. Again, I was in the university. I was praying that morning. And as I prayed, I just suddenly realized I was to travel. I was to travel out of the country. I mean, nothing in the offing. I just knew and I just prayed that out. I just said that out in a place of prayer. And shortly, things rolled in that direction. But I prayed it out and I knew this is what it's supposed to be. This is what is about to happen. Hallelujah. In fact, now, like I've said, more and more, because again, we've spoken about the fact that it says praying always. I don't know how much I can emphasize it that we need to get to a place where we are always praying. Where we are always praying. I mean, now it's almost like clockwork. Almost like clockwork. That when people call me, I would almost know that person would call me before they call me. I can almost tell who's going to call me on any given day. In most instances, I can almost tell who will call me. He's just there. I'm just there. I'm in a state of prayer and things happen. I can tell. Somebody walks in. It's just that you get tired of telling people I knew you were coming. Are you there? You know, I mean, Kenny walked in now. I mean, this afternoon, what did I tell you at first? Yeah. I said, I was about to call you. You know, but you, if you say it again, people think you are just talking. The person who called me when you were there when I was talking to came to my mind and I thought, should I call her? I just left it alone. Then she called me. So it's becoming like clockwork. But how does that work? Praying always. Praying always. Somebody said, I don't believe you. That's your own headache. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's praying in tongues. There's a prayer of intercession where you are standing in the gap and praying for somebody else and not yourself. And I wish the church would do a lot more of that. I wish people would pray a lot more. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? You know, I told the story before about a minister who died, had a freak accident, supposedly. I'm just doing a run through and then maybe we'll come back and say a bit more about each one of them. And this guy was bitten by some spider, poisonous spider or something. had put his hand somewhere and the thing beat him and he died. And at the funeral, now the story is being told by another minister. He said, when he heard the man died, he felt very bad within himself. He felt bad because God had laid that man on his heart. Are you still there? I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it, that when God brings people to your mind, learn to take a little time to pray. If it's a minute, if it's 2 minutes, if it's 5 minutes, pray. Hallelujah. And he said, God had brought that man to his mind, and he did not pray, but he did not pray. And he felt that burden that, I should pray for this man. But he said, but he didn't do anything about it. He said, so when he heard the man died, he felt so bad about it because he thought, oh my God, I think God was trying to get me to stand in the gap to prevent this from happening. So he, at the funeral, he walked up to the man's son and apologized to him. He said, look, I'm sorry. I need to tell you this. You know, God laid your father on my mind, blah, 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 and I did not pray. And I really, really am sorry that I did not do that. We don't know what would have happened. And the guy told him, he said, you are the, is it second or third person who is telling me that? So I wish believers will learn to pray always, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Can I have an amen? Learning to pray beyond themselves, learning to pray for other people. And I've said it before, if you don't begin to pray for other people, you can't have peace. We spoke about that last week. There's no way everything is going to work for you because you don't handle everything yourself. Amen. You'll have to learn to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us we have to learn to pray for all men so that we may live a peaceable life. Hallelujah. And lastly, we have a prayer of agreement and, of course, the prayer of consecration. Let's go back and speak about the prayer of petition. The prayer of petition. Because there are rules also that work with the prayer of petition. How do I pray and receive what I'm asking God for? Mark chapter 11, or let's start with Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And that's what most people want, isn't it? You know, most people want to pray and get an answer. Hallelujah. You know, when the Bible says that seek, you'll find. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Then he goes further and he says, for everyone who asks. Sorry, I've not been able to say that in modern English. It always fits well in old King James English. For everyone who asketh, receiveth. I mean, when you hear that, you know God is speaking. You know, everyone who asketh, receiveth. And everyone who seeketh, findeth. And everyone who knocketh. You see, even you are feeling it. You know, you are feeling it. Ah, oh God, or Allah, the word of God. Hallelujah. But is everyone who has receives everyone. You know. Now, the persecutory phrase is that he says, everyone who asketh, receiveth. Everyone. That's persecutory for me. It makes me think. Everyone who asketh, receiveth. Can I say that I am one of the everyone who asketh and always receiveth? Are you there? I think Kennedy again said sometime, and maybe many times, he said that he has not prayed any prayer in decades that was not answered. That's what everybody wants. Am I right? I think it's in John chapter 16 that Jesus was saying, ask. He said, up to now you have asked me nothing. He said, ask that you may receive. Huh? So that your joy may be full. Ask that you may receive, or ask so that you may receive. Are you still there? So that your joy may be full. What is that saying to us? He's saying that prayer ought not just to be about doing the motions. We shouldn't pray just because we're expected to pray. Are you still there? We should pray because we expect to receive. There should be a confidence. There should be an assurance. There should be an expectation in our heart about prayer. And every time you pray and you receive it, gives you even further assurance about praying for other things. Are you with me? And if I pray, or if everyone who asketh receiveth, there must be a how-to. Are you with me? It means it cannot be, you know, when we're on the basketball court and we're playing basketball, and sometimes somebody dribbles you, he dribbles you, you even maybe fall down the floor, then the guy just throws the ball, and the thing goes in, and it enters the basket, you say, fluke. What are you saying? You are saying, that was an accident. You didn't have the skill. It's not as if you knew what you were doing, you know. And one of the shots that I like to do sometimes is that I stand, the rim is behind me, I bounce the ball, I turn, and I throw it backwards. And the ball enters, you say, fluke. That is, there is no skill to what you did, which means that you cannot repeat what you did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very often, people pray flukes. But if he says everyone that asketh receiveth, it means that there is an actual way to pray it all of the time. When I take children on the court, on the basketball court, they want to just throw the ball, just see it enter, throw the ball, see it enter. Or sometimes I'm playing with somebody, and you find that, yeah, he's tall, he's this, he's that, he can play, sometimes he can put the ball in, but when he puts it in, it's a fluke. And sometimes you have to get the person back to the basics and say, you see, there's actually a way to bounce the ball. There's a way to hold the ball if you're going to take a shot. There's a way that if you hold it the right way and you throw it, you will direct the ball where you want it to go. And you can make it go the distance that you want it to go. There is a how-to. Are you there? How many people watch golf here? You watch golf. You know, what do you play in golf? You just take a stick and just... Huh? Have you ever played it before? Small. How easy was it? So, just take a stick and just hit the thing. Why? Now, you'll be shocked at how many times you can hit all the sand on the floor. And the ball is not going where you want it to go. Why? Because the golfers will tell you there is a how to hold the stick. There is a how to position yourself. You understand? There is a how to. If you do it anyhow, the guy can predict that this one, you are going to waste your time on this golf course today. Until you get the right hold. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And get the right stance. There's a how to make it happen. It means that for anything that you can guarantee people that everyone that does this will get this, there's a how to. Are you still there? Meaning that it can be taught. I can learn how to pray the prayer of petition. I can learn how to pray the prayer of worship. I can be praying the petition and asking God and getting what I want every single time if I know how it works. Are you still with me? So Matthew chapter 20, Matthew 21 first. Matthew 21 and verse 22. It says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, you see, if I remove the word, what? Believing. What will happen to that verse? It becomes a fluke. Are you still there? It becomes a fluke. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. Now, guess what? That is what is happening to many people. They have, number one, removed the word believing. They just believe that just pray. You understand what I'm trying to say? All they think is just pray. Just pray. God hears prayers. God answers prayer. God is a mighty God. Our God is a prayer answering God. Our God is a powerful, mighty, awesome God. Just pray.
married.
Are you with me? But if you just pray, not believing, you won't receive. You might have a prayer accident, a prayer fluke. Okay, so I was in a church years ago. Ministry was a night vigil, a CAC church. Was a night vigil. I had a healing line. Went down the healing line, laid hands on people. There was a young lady there. I don't quite remember now anymore what she said, but I think it was something about a headache and all that. I laid hands upon her. But she had a fibroid also. The headache disappeared, and she felt the fibroid dissolve. So afterwards, she asked to see me, and that's when she told me. But the interesting thing for me was that she told me also, she said, you know, it's not the first time that that fibroid has disappeared like that. I said, oh, really? She said, yes. She said it had happened before at a prayer retreat. They had a prayer retreat. She said, and as we prayed, I just felt it go. So I told her, you had a prayer accident. You don't know how you got it, so you don't know how to keep it. Are you still there? Because you didn't know how you got it, you hit faith, you hit somewhere along the line, and bam, the thing went. If you knew how you got it that time, you just repeat the same thing. First, you could have kept it, and if the devil tried you, so you just repeat it, and bam, that's the end of the matter. So many people just believe in prayer, but the how-to of the prayer of petition, they do not know. It says here, it is whatever, not just what you pray about, what you pray, believing, you receive. Now go to Mark chapter 11. So it means that the believing is an essential ingredient of your prayer, the prayer of petition. Can I have an amen? I think we'll look at one more scripture after this one, and then we can stop for the night. Is that okay? Are you getting anything yet? Mark chapter 11. Now I'll read from verse 23, similar to verse 20 in Matthew that we just read. It's similar to verse 21. But now Mark 11, 23 and 24, and there's a reason why I'm reading both, so you need to follow this clearly. It says, and whenever you stand praying, verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So this is shedding more light on the prayer of petition. Verse 24, first as an emphasis, and then we'll link it up. Okay, it says, therefore, whatsoever you desire, or whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So again, it's telling you that at that point of prayer, remember Matthew 21, whatever you ask for, believing is what you will receive. This expands it a little further. It says, whatsoever you ask, whatsoever you shall ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. This is now expanding and telling us, but when do I believe? When I pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That when I pray, when I get on my knees to pray, I must believe. I must believe. By the time I'm getting off my knees, I must believe that I have received. Not I will receive, but believe that I have received what I have asked for. The receiving is not in the future. The receiving is in the now. Can I have an amen? So I have to believe that I have received it now. Are you still there? So prayer must not be ended until there's a switch inside of you that says, I believe I receive. Hallelujah. But then he says something after that. He says, and then you will what? Have them. Now that's where the confusion comes from. The fact that he says, believe you receive them and you will have them. And he's simply talking about what you believe in the first place, that in the place of prayer, you must believe it's done. You will have them means when it manifests in the physical. Hallelujah. So if I am praying about anything in a prayer petition, I must believe that at that particular point in time, it's a done deal. Glory to God. It's a done deal. The manifestation might not be instant, but I believe it's done. Hallelujah. That's why I like the story of Daniel so much. When Daniel says he prayed, he said he waited upon God and it took 3 weeks. The angel appeared to him after 3 weeks and said, Daniel, but that's the important thing. People use it to talk about spiritual warfare and talk about how you have to battle all the demons and the principalities and the powers. But honestly, that is not my interest when I read that story. My interest is in what the angel said to Daniel. And the angel said to Daniel, Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, your prayer was heard. That is my interest. What the angel is telling Daniel is that when you prayed, you received. Are you still there? He said, but I was delayed on the way. But I have now come because of your prayers. What is he saying? He says, now I have them. But from the first day that you prayed, I was sent, you received. But now the manifestation is coming 3 weeks later, but you got it there. Hallelujah. So what has happened to many people is that sometimes we believe momentarily, but because we do not see it the next hour, we do not see it the next day, we do not see it the next week, we start saying, I thought that God had done it for me. The moment you go, I thought, you switched off that switch of faith. Are you there? Whereas you need to go only refer to that issue by saying, thank you, because I believe I received it already. Hallelujah. Now, something else that goes with the prayer of petition is in verse 23. Verse 24 starts with a word called what? Therefore. The word therefore, we have said, you know, many times when you see the word therefore, stop to see what it is there for. And the word therefore means that something that had been said is linked to something that's about to be said. Are you with me? And what was said before was that if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. He said, therefore, I say to you, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe you receive and you shall have it. What does it mean? It means that the words, my confession, the words of my mouth will affect the results that I get in a place of prayer. It means I can't pray it, believe God to receive it, and then the next thing I'm speaking the opposite of what I just prayed. I can't pray and ask God for provision and say, in fact, things are so difficult, I don't even see how one can survive. What I'm busy doing is I'm canceling what I prayed. I'm saying, you know what? That believing part of what I prayed is over. I don't believe it anymore. I'm canceling it. And he's saying that the confession that comes out of my mouth is linked to the effectiveness of my prayers. Hallelujah. Now go to 1 John chapter 5, and that's where I'd like to wrap it up. So we've talked about one type of prayer tonight. That's the prayer of petition. 1 John chapter 5. Are you there? And verse 14. It says, now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. Oh dear. You see, each one, each verse we open expands on something we have heard. Are you following what I'm saying? Each verse expands on something we have heard. That's also why you cannot sit on one verse of scripture Or read just one part of the Bible and believe you know everything you need to know. Or stand on one verse of scripture about prayer and believe that you understand everything about prayer and you can handle everything about prayer. No, each one we have read tonight expands on something that we have seen in the other one. Okay? It says, and if, verse 15, we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So number one, it talks about the confidence we have. We need to develop confidence in prayer. That confidence is what I called expectation earlier. Is that eagerness, is that, just that confidence. I don't know another word. Amen. That just says, I'm going to pray about this. And you are so assured in your heart that when I pray about this, it's a done deal. But how do I develop that confidence in him? That's what this is describing to us. How do I get to that place where I have that confidence when I pray the prayer of petition? He said, one, if we ask anything according to his will. Then you remember in verse 15, he says, whatever we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. Meaning that what we saw in Mark 11:24, that if you ask anything, believe that you receive and you shall have it. It means that asking anything is not really asking anything. Or asking anything is not asking for just anything. Are you there? You can't ask for my shoes. You can't pray and say, God, give me shoes. You can't just ask for anything, for just anything. Because otherwise, if I stay there, he says, oh, whatever, if I ask anything, believe I receive and I shall have it. So I can ask, Lord, I believe God for the shoes. I believe, I thank you, I believe I receive the shoes. No. You can't ask for just anything. What did he say? He said, if we ask for anything according to his will. Are you there? So it begins with what? The will of God. Somebody says, now you are making the matter complex. How will I know the will of God? The word of God is the will of God. Are you there? It means, like I've said oftentimes, if you're going to be a prayer warrior, you first have to be what? A word warrior. If you're going to be a prayer warrior, you get results in the place of prayer, you start by being a word warrior. You need to delve into God's word in order to feel yourself to know what the will of God is. And therefore, Jesus was speaking in John chapter 15, I believe, and verse 7. He said, what? If you abide in me, and my words do what? Abide in you. Then you shall ask for whatsoever you will, and it shall be done. So that prayer effectiveness begins with praying the will of God. You know what that means? There are prayers that will never be answered. In quote. You get what I'm saying? There are prayers that will never be answered. They are just a waste of time, waste of energy, waste of saliva. Why? Because they are not the will of God. Are you there? Somebody once began to believe God that Kenneth Copeland was her husband. He was going to leave Gloria Copeland and marry her. Not the will of God. Somebody said, how do you know? Because I know the word of God. Huh? Because the person said, but the person said that God told her. Well, I know the word of God. The word of God says what? God hates divorce. He can't be telling you to pray that somebody will divorce somebody to come and marry you. Are you still with me? So he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now it means that there are prayers, in quote, he does not hear. And what are those prayers? Prayers that are not according to his will. I'll give you another example. Lord, give me more faith. Are you there? Lord, give me more faith. Lord, give me more faith. Lord, give me more faith. Lord, give me more, more faith. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. More faith. More faith. More faith. More faith. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. More faith. More faith. More faith. It doesn't hear. Are you there? Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He didn't hear it when the disciples said to him, "Lord, increase our faith." He didn't answer the prayer. What he said to them was what? If you had faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea." I think that's Luke 17, and it shall be done. He didn't answer, "Yes, take more faith." No, he didn't answer that. Doesn't work that way. It's not the word of God. Hallelujah. He says, so if you ask anything according to his will, then he hears. And if we know, because we know that we prayed the word of God, we prayed in line with God's word, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, then we know that we have, one says we have as our present possession. We have as our present possession the petitions that we have asked of him. Hallelujah. So the will of God, which is the word of God, is important. Asking God in faith is important. Believing at that moment you asked, he heard, and you received is important. And checking what you say is important. Hallelujah. Where the prayer or petition is concerned. Begin to talk to God tonight. Thank him for his word. Give him praise for his word. Thank him because he is who he is, a prayer answering God. Assurances, the great promises in your word, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us, and we can know that we can have as our present possession whatever we ask for. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you. That means when you pray, first go find where it's promised. We want to pray the prayer of petition. Find where it's promised in God's word. Where God makes a promise that suits what you are believing God for. That is the first mission, is to find where that promise is. Don't rush to pray, but find where it is written. When you have found where it is written, meditate on what is written. Be sure you are convinced about what is written. And then you can petition God based on what is written. And believe that what you have asked for is a done deal. Because by the time you kneel down and get up, you should never touch it again with your thought life except to thank God for answered prayers. So the first mission is to find what is written wherever it is written. Meditate upon it, second step. Until you are convinced about it. And then you can pray. And when you pray, know that when you say amen, that is a settled matter. If you ever touch it again with your thought life, you only thank God for answered prayer. Until you see it manifest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise tonight. We give you the glory. Thank you for this time. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for you are working something in us that's going to revolutionize our prayer lives. Thank you. Thank you also for right now even confirming your word with signs and wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. Not just for those who are here, but everyone watching, listening, whatever. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you do for them that which they desire. Touch them as they desire. Do that which only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.